If you got a Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, continuing our series entitled On Earth as It Is in Heaven, looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, right? His sermon to his disciples, right? The beginning of his ministry. We're continuing in the series there. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 48 was what we were supposed to hit on last week. I know Pastor Greg preached through Psalm 1. But basically, Jesus is sharing here, hey, man, let me tell you how you're supposed to live. You've heard it said this way on what you're supposed to do in moments like these. Hey, let me tell you what it's really about. So on and so forth. And so I'd encourage you to take a look at those whenever you get the chance in your own time. But Matthew chapter 6, right, he moves into sharing, right, about what it looks like, man, to live rightly for him. He continues in sharing that. And so Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be in verses 1 through 4. If you're there, let me know that you're there by saying there. And we're going to read these four verses. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, the verses will be on the screen, and you can follow along there. But this is what the Word of the Lord says. This is Jesus talking here. He says this, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. So whenever you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be applauded by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Why don't we pray one more time together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, for a chance to be able to read it, Lord. Chance to be able to hear from you, from it. Lord, we just ask and pray over these next few moments that God, you'd pause our hearts, Lord, and open our ears to hear God, what you have to say through your word. Lord, continue to have your way this morning, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Tom, when I was in high school, was involved in youth group ministry, you know, got saved later on in high school, but was involved in youth group ministry and got connected with a good buddy of mine, his youth group at the school that he went to. And they would do a ministry twice a year. They'd go to a prison about an hour and a half away, just outside of Waco, Texas, in a little town called Marlin. They'd go and do prison ministry there, share the gospel there, connect with the prisoners. And I always enjoyed going. Now, I love getting a chance to go and share and meet with those prisoners, right, and share the hope of Jesus with them. But I really enjoyed going because during that time I had a crush on a couple of the girls that were part of that youth group there, being honest. And so, man, I enjoyed going, right, to share the word, but ultimately to gain the attention of some of those ladies. And so on the bus ride, hey, I'd enjoy, you know, chatting it up with them, talking with them, you know, and just, you know, letting them know about how great I thought I was. You know, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, I play, you know, football, man, at such and such high school. Yeah, I'm on JV, but, you know, hey, I'm gonna get my chance, you know, one day. You know, I'm on scout team, I'm getting beat up, but, hey, you know, yeah, I'm gonna get my chance. Chatting it up with them, you know, and sharing about all the knowledge, Brother Ed, of the word that I had, you know, at that time. And we get to the jail, and, you know, we're ministering in these different areas, and, man, I'd go and try to share, but I had to make sure, man, I'd look around to see, man, oh, so-and-so, is she in my group? Okay, yeah, let me go ahead and share, you know, share my pious, right, share how holy I was, if you will. Man, hey, you know, let them know that, hey, you know, not only am I a good looking brother, but I'm also saved, man, and love the Lord, you know. They needed to know that.
And after we left, man, we went to Whataburger, you know, and man, the whole 13 bucks I had in my account, man, I used 10 of it to make sure, you know, I got a good meal to show them that, hey, I wasn't as broke as, you know, I knew I was, right? They didn't know I had a little money just in case, man, I got to ask them out, you know. But I never got to, you know, mustered up the courage, Brother Ben, to ask them out. I just, you know, like the attention, if you will. Man, I enjoyed going and serving God, and man, got to do some great things. But at the end of the day, right, if I were to be honest, man, a lot of my motivation, if you will, was to be seen by those ladies and those that were there. The motivation behind why I was doing what I was doing was ultimately, right, to be seen by those around. Oh, you know where I'm going, but I'm going to go ahead and go there anyways, right? Jesus here in Matthew chapter 6, right, he shares about how the call to practice your righteousness or to live rightly, man, is totally different than how, man, the culture of the religious day was living. For a lot of them, man, the religious leaders, Pharisees, Sadducees, that's how they lived. Man, they lived their lives, right, as followers of the way, followers of God, right, to essentially be seen and to show others how holy and pious they were. And if we're not careful as followers of Jesus today, we can fall victim to that same thing. You say, Pastor Irv, what are you talking about? Hey, you could fall victim to, man, your righteousness, you living rightly for God being simply a show. Right, hey, you post that thing online, right, not to ultimately impact others, but hey, so that folks can see, oh man, I was in my Bible today. Hey, you serve in that area, right, so that you can get a couple of pictures to put online to show people, hey, listen, hey, look, I'm doing good things for the Lord. You serve in that area, man, not because you necessarily love God or because, you know, of your love for Him. You serve there because, hey, it ultimately makes you feel good, right? And what others say about you, man, makes you feel good as well. Jesus, man, is sharing that, hey, look, at the end of the day, practicing, man, your righteousness, living for Him, man, it constitutes so much more than that. It's not about a performance. It's about having the right heart posture. It's not about, man, a show, right? It's about living a life surrendered to the Savior who saved your soul. It's not about a show. It's not about what others think of you. And that's what I've entitled the message simply today, right? Posture above performance. Man, it's about having a right heart posture. Hey, you can say all the right things as a Christian. You could do all the right things and do exactly what you say as a Christian and still miss it if your heart isn't right, if you do not have the right heart posture. We see Jesus here share, man, about this call for us to have, man, the right posture. I see a couple of truths here, just two today, right? We're just going through these four verses. Just two truths today about, man, this call to value, man, having the right posture above performance that I want to highlight this morning that we see here in these four verses. The first truth is this. We as Christians, right, should live not for the adulation of others, but ultimately because we adore the Lord. We should live not for the adulation of others, but because we adore the Lord. In Christ, we've been changed. When we surrendered our heart and life to Christ, man, hey, we've been changed. We're different. We're different. And so now, hey, we don't look to live, man, like the rest of the world, seeking attention from others. We don't look to live, right, for the to gain, man, the respect necessarily of others or the praise of others. Man, we ultimately live, man, for an audience of one. And we live for Him because we adore Him. Jesus here, man, He says it in the first couple of verses. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. Man, we've got to choose, man, not to live for the adulation of others, but because we adore the Lord. And as Christians, it's so easy to fall victim to that. Listen, we're called to be a people, right, that let our light shine. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago, right? This, what we're going to see here and over the next few weeks is not a call for us just to simply hide and live in secret, separated from the rest of the world. It's about ultimately a heart posture. And man, that heart posture, the right posture comes from us, man, being with Him and understanding, hey, that at the end of the day, listen, even if nobody and follows us, or even if nobody says anything to us, even if, man, we get made fun of, hey, we're still going to choose to live for Jesus because we adore Him at the end of the day. Man, the call for us, man, is not to live for the praise of others, but because we adore the Lord. We see Jesus here, man, highlight a couple of realities pertaining to this point, right? He first hits on motives, man, having the right motive. In verse 2, he says, so whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or and on the streets to be applauded by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. Jesus here addresses the motive at hand, right? He says, hey, whenever you choose, man, to live for me, and he uses the illustration of giving. We'll talk more about that here in a second. He says, whenever you choose to live for me, hey, don't be like the hypocrites are. Sounding trumpets up, you know, where they are, announcing to the world that they're doing this. There's a couple of truths I want to highlight regarding that statement. That word hypocrites, it's the Greek word for actor. Jesus is using an acting illustration here. Back in that day, man, first century, you know, actors, man, big time actors, they'd show up and, man, they'd have a little trumpet to announce that they were there, getting ready to perform their act. Getting ready to perform their act. And Jesus is saying, listen, we don't live like that. Man, hey, we choose to be people that, man, even if there's no one watching, we still choose to look to honor and glorify Him. That word hypocrite, right, again, speaks to of being an actor. You know, this thought of, man, hey, just doing things simply for a show. And He compares those people to the religious people of the day. It's not like the English word hypocrite that we know of today, saying one thing and doing another. Man, the religious leaders of the day were real good at doing what they said, what they talked about. Man, they followed the law almost to a T. Man, they were so holy and righteous, they added extra laws to what they were doing and followed those. Right, it's this picture of, man, hey, just simply doing things for a show. Doing things just to get the attention of others. To show, man, how spiritual we are. And Jesus is saying, hey, that ought not be the motive behind, man, why we live for Him. Why we serve Him. The motive ought not be to be seen by others. Our private devotion to Jesus, man, is just as important as our public display of who He is to the world. And so the call for us, man, is to choose to be people, man, that seek His face in private. Walk with Him. I've got a question this morning for you. Why do you follow Jesus? Hey, why do you live for Him? If we're being honest, say, hey, why do you live for Him? Why do you serve Him, right, in the context of, this church, or serve Him outside of these walls? Why do you do those things? Man, it ought to be out of our love and adoration of Him. Not so that you can get a pat on the back. Hey, not so that, hey, you can be seen by others, man, as a good Christian, right, and get a gold star. Man, it ought to be, man, out of our devotion to Him. Paul says in Galatians 1:10, for am I now trying to persuade people or God? Or am I striving to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Man, we live our lives, man, ultimately to please the Lord. Man, it's having the right motive. Do you have the right motives today? Be saved a long time, man. Know Jesus a long time and still fall victim. Man, to, hey, making your Christian life a show. When Jesus says, no, that's not what it looks like.
and to live for Him. Man, He talks about right motives, but also He talks about missed reward. That second part there, right in verse 1. And you have no reward with your Father in heaven. And then in verse 2, Jesus says at the end there, hey, if you're like the hypocrites in the synagogues, then hey, you've ultimately, or they, those folks have ultimately gotten their reward. But they've missed the true reward. Whenever folks see this, right, they're talking about, hey, missing their reward, or they've gotten their reward in the now, they ultimately think, okay, this reward that we get for, man, hey, living rightly, right, having a right posture when we live for the Lord, they ultimately see that as the reward that we'll get in heaven one day. Yeah, which is true, man. Hey, we're going to have a crown, you know, that we're going to lay down at His feet. We just sang about that, right? There's some truth to that. But Jesus is, man, talking about more implication than that. He's talking about the reward in the now. If we choose to be a people, right, that live our lives, man, for Christ, just to be seen by others, just to have a show, then we miss out on the ultimate reward, man, that comes from Him. We get the reward, man, of, you know, getting a pat on the back, man, getting the gold star like what I talked about, being seen as, man, a good Christian man or woman, you know, but that's ultimately the only reward that we get. What Jesus is saying here is this, man, hey, when you choose to have the right posture, right, in serving Me, giving, you know, we'll see later on, it talks about fasting and prayer, right? When you have the right posture and it comes to those things, hey, you ultimately get a reward in glory, but man, you get rewarded in the now. Say, Pastor Irv, how so? Man, hey, number one, you grow and mature in Christ. When you have the right heart and posture, man, and you live for Him rightly. You experience the reward of, hey, perhaps seeing other folks come to know Him and seeing God glorified in that. You experience the reward, man, of being a part of something bigger than yourself. Those rewards that Jesus is talking about, hey, don't miss them. Don't miss them. Hey, choose to be one, man, that has the right posture when it comes to living for the Lord. Living for the Lord. We should live, man, for the Lord, right? Not simply for the adulation and praise of others, but because we adore Him. It's the first truth that we see. Then the second and final truth that we see here in the text is this. Hey, we not only should live for Him, we should give to Him because of our affection for Him, not simply for the attention of others. Man, we should give to the Lord because of our affection for Him, not the attention of others. It's interesting and not by accident that Jesus uses the illustration about giving here, and to explain what He is trying to say. Man, first century time, hey, the religious leaders, man, a lot of them were well off, established folks in society, had a lot of money. And they loved to let folks know that they had a lot of money by, man, showcasing how much money they had and giving, right, to the temple and giving to, man, those that were in need. But hey, they wanted to make sure folks knew that they were doing that. They had, man, the camera crews of the day there. They didn't have no camera phones or they didn't have any cameras, period, probably then, but they made sure that there was a crowd that was there that saw, hey, man, so-and-so, man, Rabbi Billy, man, is given to the folks that are in need here. Man, look at him. Look at how holy and righteous he is. And Jesus is saying, hey, listen, man, they're missing it. They're missing it. In the same way, hey, we too can fall victim to missing it as well. Man, when it comes to this part of, man, our righteous living. I know I've fallen victim to that a lot, personally. I didn't grow up with a ton. You know, and I remember, you know, as I grew up, matured, become an adult, you know, to where I am now, man, every now and again, yeah, I want to give, feel led to give, man, and I want folks to know, man, that I'm a charitable kind of guy. And, man, the Lord has to remind me, hey, look, you're missing it in the end. Hey, this stuff that you're able to give isn't yours anyways. It's mine. And so I ought to be the one to receive glory when you choose to give it. And the same thing applies to you in your life. We should give not We should give because of our affection for the Lord, not for the attention of others. Man, Jesus here speaks about giving in a couple of ways here. Man, he first off shares the reality that giving is seen as practical righteousness. Verse 3 highlights that. He says, but when you give. He doesn't say, but if you give. Hey, you know, whenever you find time to give, hey, when you give. We see here that Jesus, man, establishes the fact that, hey, giving ought to be a part of our life. Ought to be a part of our practical righteousness. Man, how we ought to live. Man, it's an example of that. Man, it's seen as practical righteousness. Man, choosing to be folks that aren't hoarders of our stuff, but givers of it. And folks that see, man, giving as a blessing. The truth is, church, that, hey, giving, man, is a call of the Lord. It is. It is. And so, man, the call for us is to give to Him. Just some realities about giving I want to highlight just quickly here. What we see in the Word. Number one, right, giving is a command of the Lord. Malachi 3, 9 and 10 shares about it, talks about it, man. The prophet there is sharing about how the people of Israel were robbing God because they weren't giving to Him. It says, you're suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of armies. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. And giving is a call, a command of the Lord. Hey, when we choose to, man, withhold, number one, what is the Lord's, right? To starting out with a tenth, giving to, man, the Lord in His house. Man, we are robbing Him. When we choose to live as people that are hoarders of our stuff and not give to those that are in need, right, as the Lord leads us to give, we are robbing Him. And so the call for us, man, is to give. And again, what's helped me over time? Because, man, I've struggled with that. Not growing up with a ton. Man, I've struggled with being stingy with my stuff. It's mine. What helps me is remembering that it's not mine. James 1 tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from above, man. Coming down from the Father of lights. Everything we have and possess is God's. It's His. By the way, not just monetary stuff. Your kids are His. Right? Your job is His. Yourself. It's His. It is. And so the call for us, right, is, man, to give to Him. Giving is a command of the Lord. Secondly, right, giving is a blessing. It is ultimately a blessing. Acts 20, 35 says this, in every way I've shown you that it is necessary to help the weak by laboring like this and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, because He said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Man, giving is a blessing at the end of the day. The opportunity to be able to be a part in God's work, right, in blessing somebody financially, man, that's a blessing. The opportunity to be able to give, right, to the Lord and His church, man, for us to be able to continue to do ministry both in the building and outside of the building is a blessing. It's a blessing. And so the call for us is to give, man. It's seen as practical righteousness. At the end of the day, you've probably heard it said, listen, you ain't gonna take what you got with you when you go. Man, and so the call for you, right? The call for all of us, man, ought to be to live life open-handed. And as the Lord leads, man, choose to give. Say, Pastor Irv, listen, the economy's crazy. Hey, bills are expensive. I get it. Hey, be wise. The Lord ain't telling you just, hey, to, you know, sell all your stuff, you know, and live in a tent. He may not be telling you to do that necessarily. You got bills, right? So you got to work, got to take care of your family. I get it. But hey, when you choose to adapt, man, learning how to live open-handed and say, hey, Lord, hey, all that I have is Yours. It's interesting how ultimately the Lord ends up taking care of you in the end. Hey, that's not prosperity gospel. That's just the truth of what I see in God's Word. He takes care of you in the end. And so choose to be, man, one who gives. Giving is seen as practical righteousness. But secondly and lastly, hey, we ought to choose to give to honor the Lord in the end. Continuing in verse 3 there, he says, when you give to the poor, hey, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Again, speaking of the heart there, heart posture. And he says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you, man. Again, speaking of that reward at the end of the day, for choosing to be one that is open-handed, this reward that, yes, you'll experience in heaven, that you'll get in glory, but also, man, the reward that you'll get here in the now. Man, the blessing that comes with it. We ought to choose to be folks that look to give to ultimately honor the Lord in the end. And it all starts with having a right posture. Psalm 41:1 says it like this. Happy is the one who is considerate of the poor. The Lord will save him in a day of adversity. Man, we ought to choose to give to him. Having the right heart posture. So, church, why do you live for Jesus? Why do you follow him? Man, you may have came to faith and walked with him for a little while. And if you were to be honest, maybe it's, hey, I'm doing it just, man, because other folks know that I'm a Christian and I want to make sure that they see that I'm walking with him. Maybe you're doing it, hey, because it is a show for you. You're like the religious leaders of the day. Man, you enjoy being doted on for being a Christian. And so your motivation for following him, man, is to ultimately be seen by others. But Jesus says here at the end of the day, right, it's about having and the correct heart posture. This life is not about us. This Christian life is not about you and your name being built up, man. It's ultimately about, man, us as a people lifting up the name that's above every name. Because the Bible says when we choose to do that, man, hey, he's going to draw people unto himself. And so where is your heart today? Man, may we choose to be a people, right, that value having the right heart posture and above simply performing or performance when it comes to living for the Lord. Posture over performance.